Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Love podcast, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Show podcast. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Ava, not ready. Ava rattled.
I'm still in hair and makeup.
Yeah, we've got live now. For listeners, I feel we wouldn't neglect the listeners, actually.
Yeah?
We're quite a visual medium, but you can listen to this. I mean, encourage you to listen to this audio only. Mm-hmm. Ava's touching up her makeup at the moment.
Yeah, Ava's just touching up.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. What do you want it to mean?
Okay, off to a great start. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good, that. Yeah, how was yours?
Brilliant. Excellent. No, it was good, thank you.
What did you do?
Made the most mid-dinner I've ever made in my life. It was so shit.
Was it as shit as that one time that you slow-cooked chicken pesto?
Sometimes I go through... If I sometimes batch-cook things for lunch, I just make the most disgusting slop.
He came in and he's like, oh, this sucks. And he was eating this, like, the chicken looked really pale. And there was like a little thin bit of pesto on it. And he's like, yeah, I slow cooked this. It's like, no one ever has said that you need to slow cook pesto.
I'm a real sucker for like TikTok and real recipes. I see something and I'm like, well, I will try that immediately.
Do you put like the big block of feta in the middle of like the pasta?
Yeah. Or just a big thing of camembert or something like that. No, but like the thing I made on Saturday was a TikTok recipe.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my favourite ever meals that I make is a TikTok recipe. But that's the only good one I've made, actually. The rest are complete dog shit.
So you were at home Saturday batch cooking?
No, I actually made... Well, I took leave of my senses and it involved breading chicken, which I fucking hate, and I forgot how much I hate it until I was doing it on Saturday.
Why? What did you do? Do you bang it down like a schnitzel?
No, it was like strips, and you had to like put them into the... It was just a mess.
What, you put it in the egg and then into the...
So it was in buttermilk,
right,
and like seasoning. Buttermilk, flour, buttermilk, seasoned flour, and it was like a complete waste of fucking time.
Double dipping, yeah?
Yeah, it was fucking shit.
You dog.
Yeah, unhygienic. Did you eat something nice at the weekend?
I did. I had like one. I told you earlier, didn't I? I had like one of the best brunches I've ever had in my life.
Are we going to gatekeep that?
What was the place called?
You went. I
told
know.
You about it though.
Okay, sorry.
What was it called? Bistro Tech.
Bistro Tech.
Bistro Tech. Yeah.
Sick.
In Bethnal Green.
That's a good name.
It was really, really nice. Had a little girl there playing a piano. Yeah, she was 60. But you know, like, sorry.
A little girl.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it was lovely.
Oh, she's playing,
just playing like Fur Elise.
She just passed her grade one.
Yeah. She weren't meant to be there.
Owner's daughter. If you want to eat some fucking food, you're going to listen to my wee girl.
Yeah.
Play the piano. Do you want to hear something excellent?
Yeah.
I saw at the weekend.
Always.
Famously, it was the Old Firm yesterday. And my friend, who's a Celtic fan, sent me a photo of a man in a Celtic pub in London, and on the back of his Celtic top, this season's kit, it said Gaddafi.
Why?
Because I think it must be because Gaddafi gave the IRA guns.
Right. Okay. Number was 32.
Counties. 32 counties in a unified Ireland. Yeah, 32 counties in a unified... I don't know if you heard that, but Sean was supposed to get the number on the back of the Gaddafi shirt. It was 32. So you're paying tribute to the man who's done the most for Irish reunification, Colonel Gaddafi.
Not as much as George Galloway.
Is that a reference to something particular? Or just...
Look, we better not go any further because he's very litigious.
What's that? I don't even... We can cut this out, but I don't even get it.
There's nothing to get.
Oh, okay. It's just a...
You know in... What's his name? Osama bin Laden's letter to America.
The most powerful piece of literature of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you think that contributed to the Good Friday Agreement?
Well, it was written about 6 years after.
Yeah.
So zero.
What? You didn't think he could have some foresight?
No, the people who wrote the Good Friday Agreement would have to see the letter for America.
Yeah.
So you think...
Maybe Bin Laden phoned it in.
Hi, guys. You don't know who I am, but you're going to really care about me in 5 years.
Well, four, really.
Yes. So you think Mo Molo was on the phone to Bin Laden taking tips?
No, Campbell.
And what's this? Did I hear about an old firm match in Belfast?
Tony Blair telling Osama bin Laden about the Sure Start programmes and how good they've been. You should think about getting some of these.
It turns out all of Tony Blair's agenda was just written by bin Laden.
Yeah. That's, what?
Well, there's no evidence that it wasn't.
Well, no, but I mean, look, if we're going to get philosophical about it, mm-hmm. you could actually say that a lot of Blair's agenda was written by bin Laden because...
Because why?
Without 9/11, we wouldn't have gone into Iraq. And we'd still remember Blair as, like, you know, the beacon of progress.
The third way. Ugh, poor destructive man. I think that's the worst thing bin Laden ever did.
Bin Laden being a destructive man. Yeah, you could say that.
The worst thing he ever did was wreck Tony Blair's legacy.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that bombshell,
yeah.
you've had another morning. All we do is talk about our mornings on here now, but you've been doing some real work.
Yes, been down with the boys. Uh-huh.
Sorry, actually, I say you were doing some real work. You were doing your actual job
of
working with Reform UK.
Reform press officer.
Yeah, you've got a bit of a day of it now.
Yeah. So Reform this morning, we're launching their counter to Labour. Labour's NHS programme and it's Reform's NHS programme, and within this programme there was some news we already knew, so they wanted to offer all frontline staff, nurses, I don't think this includes doctors, I'd have to check, I think it might just be limited to nurses and hospital cleaning staff, that sort of group. They want to increase the tax threshold where they start paying tax from £12,500 to £20,000. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it'll be less than... Anyway. And that way, that will give them an effective pay rise. Mm-hmm. They also, this morning, announced that they would like to give you a tax incentive to go private. So if you can afford to go private into private healthcare, then you should do that. And they'll give you sort of like a 20% reduction mm-hmm. on the tax that you would pay on that. Because if you can pay, you should. It would alleviate strain on the NHS. Then they started talking about net zero and how much it was costing the country to transition to net zero. Mm-hmm. And what they basically put on the table was an offer of, if you vote Reform, they will clear the NHS backlog within 2 years. If you vote for Labour, that won't happen. And instead, you'll reach net zero in 25 years. It's a binary choice.
Okay.
Do you want NHS waiting lists or net zero?
It's really sick that they can just say these things and they will never, ever be tested.
Right.
I think that's a really sick... You can say whatever you want because they're never going to be in government.
Well, yeah, but you could make that argument for the Lib Dems.
Lib Dems at least have more than one MP.
See, that's your bias. That's your bias.
My bias?
Yeah. Your bias.
What? Explain my bias to me.
That the Lib Dems are somehow shaping policy.
I think
because Reform has an MP that can also do what they do, which is sort of backbench business, and they can put down private members' bills now. They haven't. But if they wanted to, the opportunity is there.
If he was going to keep his seat beyond
yeah.
the next 6 months,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm sure it'd be really effective in Parliament.
But, so what we also spoke about was that it is International Romany Day. And what so recently, so Reform have just had to drop. Sorry, I haven't got it from me. I think it's 5 candidates now that they had to drop in the last couple of weeks because they had made remarks that were deemed to be racist. I'm being careful with my language here because of legal reasons. Mm-hmm. I'm not just like being wet.
It's not just that you're being wet.
It's not also, just that I'm being wet. It's also legal. It's also because, you know, legally I am the press officer. And,
no. You're liable for everything they say.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have approved the comment.
No. And basically, so that a lot of the questions today were, do you think that the Reform vetting process is strong enough? Because if you've got candidates in who are making racist remarks, and Richard Tice, well, he said this.
The scrutiny has been very intense. There's probably been a year's worth of scrutiny in a month because our candidates have been up on the list for, I suspect, somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks. And so we're very clear to all our candidates, for heaven's sake, you know, if you're going to have a glass on a Friday night, then don't use social media. It's not sensible. And if someone lets us down hereafter, then frankly, if it's inappropriate, if it's unacceptable, then we're going to part company. So you can have your freedom of speech and freedom of expression, but that doesn't mean you have the right to represent Reform UK as a parliamentary candidate, because that's our choice at the leadership. And we've got serious solutions to the challenges the country's got. That's what we're focused on. That's why, bluntly, we're not wasting time suspending people for 6 months or so. We're getting on with it.
Now, what I was interested in was a couple of years ago in 2021, Lee Anderson, there were calls for his resignation because he had made some anti-traveller comments. And I was saying, well, it's Traveller Day.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that perhaps he is, you know, he should apologise, or you should consider not having him in the party because he's made comments mm-hmm. that are xenophobic,
mm-hmm.
racist.
Yeah.
And he
made a tit out of you.
He made a tit out of me.
He said, actually, I have no problem with Romany people. It's travellers who are thieves and vagabonds.
Yes.
I have great respect for the Romans and true gypsies. We had a problem in Ashfield where travellers keep coming back and thieving and robbing and smashing the place up, leaving excrement everywhere, leaving on a beauty spot, threatening people, stealing stuff. And the thing I did to stop them, because they came back twice and we cleaned the site up, I put 2 boulders there to stop them coming back. And I was thanked by my community for doing that. Over 2,000 people, and I got a fixed penalty notice for fly tipping from the Labour Council for stopping the travellers coming back. Over 2,000 people signed a petition for me in my village. So you're quite wrong, I didn't have a go at the Romanies, I had a go at this travelling community who were just thieves, vagabonds, and ruining my entire village, and I would do it again.
And what you didn't see there was when I'd asked the question of Richard Tice, because Richard Tice was doing the press conference, and then Lee Anderson got up.
Leapt up
to say, once again, Ava, you are wrong.
That'd be a good, like, so, okay. If you were like a music producer, that could be like a good like sting for you.
Yeah.
You know, like the Metro Boomin one. If young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot. That could be your one. Once again, Ava, you are wrong.
Or like, what's that thing that like Red One, like those producers shout?
I don't know.
Like, you know, when producers shout their tags.
Their tags? Oh,
yeah.
They're tags.
No,
that.
They're tags, yeah.
Top bracket.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like Pitbull shouting, what? You're always wrong, Ava. Mamacita.
Mamacita.
It's Pitbull, isn't it? Mamacita, you're always wrong.
You're always wrong. You're crazy. Eva Santina, con loco.
Yeah. Yeah. Las mujeres son loco. Locas.
If you think for each of the videos that me or Enable produce, we should have our own stings, let us know.
You're crazy, baby.
If you are a talented music producer, just I think you should make them for us unsolicited.
Yeah, but don't use what we've just done in the last minute. Can you just use what Lee Anderson said?
Take the most insulting thing that any politician has ever said to any of us and use that as a sting.
What is the most insulting thing that a politician's ever said? You've got loads to choose from.
Yeah. Who the fuck are you? As a hideous list, the outfit you're wearing, or whatever Jacob Rees-Mogg said.
There would be quite a good, you could have like quite a good drop after you, like that thing with Steve Bray. Do you know when you're like, you say to Jacob Rees-Mogg,
yes.
Jacob, that was a bit embarrassing. He says, I love Steve Bray. No, I was talking about the conference. And then it's like, it's like jungle.
I'm a bitch. I'm a boss.
Those shitty little black glasses that float down. Yeah. Like,
there's like a fan cam, like an actual edit, like a TikTok edit.
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah.
I think they're so funny. Did you see there's one of like Julia... Julia Gillard is the Australian Prime Minister. That's what I mean, isn't it?
Right.
Have you seen that, her speech about misogyny?
I will not be lectured by this man.
Yeah. I'm a bitch. I'm a boss. See, when you're at a reform conference, press conference, which is like most days for you, every day.
Stop. Okay, right. Can we actually cut this? Because... I go to many conferences and we've made a joke about reform,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I enjoy the joke. Some people online actually think that I'm the spokesperson for reform.
Yes, but some people online think I'm Alistair Campbell's son.
You are Alistair Campbell's son.
And you're a spokesperson for reform.
One thing that was really funny was when... So, like, we'd put that video out and it was really funny. Mm-hmm. That was a funny promo video.
The one where I said I was Alistair Campbell's son.
Yes. That was funny.
It was funny.
And most normal people looked at that and was like, oh, well, obviously not. This man is Scottish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyway, it's not. Some people still come up to me at parties and say, is he really Alistair Campbell's son? And I say yes. Yeah. Every single time.
Happened to Laura on Friday.
Did it?
Laura texted me on Friday night saying someone just asked me.
Yeah?
If you're Alistair Campbell's son.
What did you say? Yeah. You said yes. Yeah. Nice.
Sick. When you're at a reform press conference, what's the atmosphere like? Is it fun?
You never ask me this question when I go to a Labour conference.
Because I imagine it's a much more staid affair. Because someone's not going to stand up and say, I hate travellers because they're thieves. I think.
Oh, that's funny to you, yeah? A little bit of racism is funny to you, is it?
I think it's funny that...
Look at this
that
guy.
The Anderson thought it was appropriate to say.
Right. Saved yourself there, didn't you?
Yes, because everyone thought that. I was like, that's fun and good. Mm-hmm. But what's the mood like amongst the journalists?
There was one, the first press conference that they did, there's been three, and the first one that they did quite a few months ago now was a really good time.
Was that Starmageddon?
It was Starmageddon.
That was sick.
It was when Ben Habib launched his by-election campaign for Wellingborough.
Mm-hmm.
And within that launch, he insinuated that he was going to put troops in Northern Ireland.
I don't think he has the power to do that. He's just an MP.
And then something was said about how Rishi Sunak, it's basically a presidential race or whatever. And then someone, like one of the journalists was like, so are you asking to get rid of the monarchy? It's just sort of like...
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Thumbing through your nose.
It's just like they've just like gone to launch the by-election. And instead they're like, get rid of the king. Troops in Northern Ireland. Ollie actually wrote the brief for that.
I think it's interesting though when Tice or Reform say things like, Labour have abandoned the working class. That's why we are giving tax incentives to the middle class to use the private healthcare system.
Yeah.
They just say something loudly and very quietly show that they're not doing that.
Well, they are the party of the working classes, as a, you know, and it takes a property mogul to tell us that.
He's obsessed with California. Is it? I think it's interesting. I think what's interesting is when people talk about reform as like, oh, they're now the natural party of the working class. You must have a really poor opinion of working class people.
Mm.
If you're like, oh, the racism, that'll appeal to them.
Oh, there we go.
That's what.
Give them a bone.
That's what. Yeah. If that's what their loyalty to, or their newfound support for Labour is so thin that they just need like someone to use an anti-gypsy slur and they'll come running back.
Well, do you know what is interesting about that? Is actually there's a lot of concern from backbench MPs that they don't use the words that they're not, okay, they don't use these words, but what they essentially worry about is that they're not dog whistling enough. There's a real concern amongst backbench MPs that Reform is taking their shtick from them.
I think that's so interesting, though, because, like, Suella Braverman was Home Secretary.
Yeah.
Until, what, like, 3 months ago, 4 months ago? And Suella Braverman is speaking at the same conference as Orban in Belgium. Like,
sorry. That's a fucking... Very funny.
I don't know. What dog whistles can you... Like, you want to say the N-word in Parliament. That's what you mean.
Right.
That's what, like, what bigger dog whistles... Like, saying that the Conservative Party isn't dog whistling is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, when they're just screaming. They're literally, like, they're all, like, howling.
It's actually, this isn't shrill enough!
Yeah. Yeah.
Not enough dogs come running!
But, you know, one part of that policy about the raising the threshold at which frontline workers start paying tax...
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought they were going to... That was just one of their positions anyway, not necessarily just for frontline workers.
I have to say I can't remember. I thought that it was... I think it's just specific public sector workers, but I'm happy to be corrected by any other reformites listening.
I also moonlight as a comms person.
That's a really good policy, though, to raise that threshold, and that would be a really good one, actually, for Labour to take on, to just immediately... raise that threshold, because you're giving them a pay rise and you're giving them an incentive to keep them on, especially when retention is so terrible at the moment in the NHS. Mm-hmm. And another thing that they've cottoned onto is the price of going to university. So Dr. David Bull, who is a GP, a talk show host and a Reform UK appendage. I'm not really sure. I don't know where he's standing.
Appendage.
Candidate?
Appendage is a...
Well, I don't even know if he's actually a candidate at the moment. I don't know if he's
deputy leader.
Yeah, right, but I don't know if he's been put in... I don't know if he's been put to a constituency. By the by, what he was talking about today was that the doctor as a profession is not encouraging working class people into it anymore because it's so expensive to go to university and become a doctor. You know, putting aside even how expensive your student loans end up being and the fact that you pay interest on them afterwards, the price to go, like, to get student housing and it's one of those courses that you really can't get a job alongside.
Yeah, because you work so much.
Yeah. Like, I had a job at university and paid for everything and it was no problem whatsoever. Like, I was doing English literature. Like, come on. Like, it was fine. When you're studying medicine, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So it just discourages.
So what's their solution to that?
Bursaries.
Oh, okay.
But the plan would be that the proposal is they have to work in the NHS for 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise they have to pay it back. So they can't train for free.
And then go to show, yeah.
Which is what a lot of dentists now do.
And doctors as well. I know tons of doctors.
Yeah, but they don't train for free.
Sorry, I don't get you.
Would you please keep up with the Reform Party policy?
Sorry, it's just such a coherent platform. Yeah. I don't know why I'm failing to keep up with it. Mm. Did they say anything else groundbreaking?
No, I'm all right, I think.
you touched on there, it's International Romany Day today.
Mm.
And it's the last acceptable form of prejudice.
And we're going to hear more about that from Olivia Morrison, who's going to come and speak to us. She's she's from the Traveller Movement. She's going to come and talk to us about it.
Yeah, should we listen to that now?
Yeah.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So you're head of partnerships at the Traveller Movement.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, what does that group do?
The Traveller Movement is a national charity and we work with Romani Gypsies, Roma and Irish Traveller communities. And we work on a range of different issues relating to kind of women and girls, sort of domestic abuse, criminal justice, education, health and well-being. We do a lot of advocacy work, whether that's kind of supporting members of the different communities to advocate for themselves, but also advocating on behalf of the different communities as well, and the injustices and the discrimination being experienced by the different communities.
Do you think that being a part of one of these three ethnic groups, do you think that it could ever be a hindrance to some services that might be available? So, like, if you had a domestic abuse victim, from an Irish traveller group, would you think that they might find it harder to access services than, say, someone else?
Oh, definitely. And without a doubt, you know, one of the things that we continuously hear from services is kind of saying, we don't know how to engage with different communities. They're not engaging with us. They're hard to reach. When we actually say, no, the communities that we work with, they're not hard to reach. The services are hard to reach.
Right.
And so the actual emphasis has to be on the services to be sort of doing that and proving that outreach and making people feel as though that they are welcome. And and again, it comes back to sort of celebrating and acknowledging different cultures and inclusion of the kind of different communities.
Well, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I suppose if you're building a culture in the country, which is, you know, you're not welcome at this pub or you're not welcome at this holiday park, then perhaps a woman who is looking for domestic abuse help might feel that could be, you know, the same door put in their face.
Exactly. Well, we hear sort of time and time again from members of the different communities who are sort of scared to self-identify when accessing services because of fear of judgment or fear of discrimination.
Wow. And then that also lends itself to the documentation argument, right?
Exactly.
So if you're not doing outreach programs, you're not documenting.
Yeah, exactly. It's a vicious cycle, yeah.
Okay, so looking ahead to the May elections and a possible general later this year,
yep.
What sort of issues will you be thinking about during that time?
I think what we are concerned about and what we have sort of continuously sort of seen is the fact that the risk of the different communities kind of being used as a political football, essentially, regarded as, you know, separate to the wider community. It's really, really important that the voices of members of our communities are heard and respected. And what we don't want to see is any sort of irresponsible language being used, playing into kind of racist rhetorics. And like I say, kind of being used as a political football.
So when you hear Lee Anderson this morning saying that he would repeat his comments,
he
would say it again, what do you make of that?
I think it's, absolutely abhorrent. And it is deeply offensive. And absolutely, just emphasise, I think, as we sort of said in 2021, our kind of response to those kind of original comments, this is hate speech. Let's call it what it is. And it's absolutely unacceptable.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Wade Streeting has done news.
Mm.
What news has he done?
Writing in the Sun,
mm-hmm.
Which is a very good place for a Labour MP to be writing.
They're always in it. David Lammy was in it yesterday.
They're all over the Sun.
Yeah, Keir Starmer was on that
they love it.
Weird talk show they do now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the talk show thing. Yeah. Oh. Sun TV.
Sun, never mind the ballots.
I actually... One, do you know what? Okay. You can have multiple thoughts at the same time, all right? So just appreciate that before I say the next thing.
Anyway.
I don't look at the Sun as a paper for Labour voters, right? And I don't think that people traditionally do. But then, like, I have a family heritage from Liverpool and I don't see that as, like, the paper of Labour voters, mm-hmm. right? I think that that is sort of like the Boris Johnson red wallpaper,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But hearing Justin Webb say it this morning when he was sort of ridiculing it on Radio 4, immediately I was like, don't say that.
What did he say?
He was
being snooty.
Radio 4, on the Today programme, a couple of them really have a way of being, they give over as if they're the only source of news that's worth listening to and everything else is just sort of fluff around it. And I just think it can sound really cheap. You know, you never get that sort of thing out of Michelle Hussein, who is the best presenter on that.
Or a politics show.
We're never sneering.
No, not once. Anyway, back to The Sun. What was you think writing in The Sun, which is, I'm sure everyone will agree, is a valuable source of news?
Well, it's time to start using the private sector to bash down the backlog. Yeah.
Smash down the backlog's back doors.
Rear end the backlog.
Pull down the backlog's bum flaps. Let it fart. I can't believe I wrote that in the paper. That's
it's time
mental.
To douche the backlog.
For too long, we have not been wiping the NHS's arse. It's clogged.
You just needed a couple of laxatives. Or a herbal tea.
But back serious mode. Let's go. So
an extra £1 billion of funding is only going to come with the agreement to slash waiting lists.
Yes.
So NHS needs to operate properly on the weekends. So the problem that he was addressing was that it basically is like a Monday to Friday business. It needs to be open 7 days a week. Doctors need to really commit. I think it's a criticism that's really leveled at middle management of the NHS,
mm-hmm.
which is quite poor. And, you know, I think he did everything today except say that this is basically like the big problem are the diversity officers. They are taking all of your cash. All cash on diversity and no cash on operations.
No cash on bum wiping.
Yeah, correct.
It's interesting making a plea for a greater role in the private sector in this, given we are seeing the catastrophic consequences of privatisation right now.
All right. Cough, profound.
Well, like, shut the fuck up. Okay, sorry, bum wiping is a bit.
Yes!
But, like, Thames Water.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucked. You get on a train in this country, and you're like, you're never like, oh, thank God this is privately owned. Like, what's the healthcare equivalent of, like, institutional train delays?
Wow.
Like, your grand dying sooner?
Right.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Do you get, like, delay repay for, like, your grand dying?
Yeah. Lower outcomes with cancer. Again, well, it's this whole point that, like, Labour politicians seem to understand the problem with the NHS is that it's stopped being a preventative service and it's become like a, you know, a triage emergency service,
yeah.
right? So, like, if you, God forbid, you get cancer tomorrow and it's a serious one, you're going to have probably the best doctor doing an operation on you. You know, you're going to have impeccable treatment, some of the best in the world. However, if you go in and say things like, oh, I've got a bit of a pain in my lower back, they might not be able to diagnose mm-hmm. that you've actually got kidney failure.
Yeah.
For a while.
Until it's too late.
Yeah.
Until you have, like, until your eyes are yellow.
Yes. But that's the big giveaway.
Everyone knows yeah. about that.
Me, a doctor.
This is medical advice.
Yeah.
They
come in and sit down and they're like an orb.
Excuse me. I seem to become an orb. Oh.
Right. Well, we've only got 3 minutes today because I have to...
I'm actually doing some private work at the same time and I've got a call
yeah.
immediately after this.
I've got to log on to the Livy app and yeah, you know.
I'm moonlighting with Vitality.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to jump on. What do you think? Do you think, what do you think West Shooting's tactic here is? Is he trying to appeal to anybody in particular? Or is he being like, we are a serious party? It's a serious...
He's always been pro using private healthcare to push through the backlog. Mm-hmm. But then that's a Blairite policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very... like Blair was always... he was all over the PFIs, wasn't he?
Yeah, obsessed with them.
Yeah, loving them.
Absolutely.
Just rubbing himself.
Touching himself.
Osama, have you seen... have you ever considered a PFI? Yeah.
Just sitting.
I always get Osama confused with Saddam, but it'd be funnier if like Osama was in that, you know, that diagram where he's like lying down and there's like the fan, you know, the diagram
like, cave.
When he's in the cave and Osama's just picking up the call to Tony Blair to talk about PFIs.
You know that, you know the meeting where Tony Blair and Gordon Brown decided that Blair would be the leader for like however long, Bin Laden was also there helping broker it.
They actually went to him.
Yeah.
And he was in Donegal.
Bin Laden was Mandelson's Mandelson.
That's why they couldn't deal with that post office scandal.
too busy. Bin Laden really lost his rag when he flies off the handle. Good Lord.
What's happened here?
I don't know. Bin Laden part of the Labour. Do you think, this is a you question, do you think Bin Laden could win a seat in England?
Do I think Bin Laden could take Islington North? No, if Sinn Féin are running.
Sorry, excuse me. The political wing of Al-Qaeda. Sorry, I need to make that. I should make that clearer.
Jeffrey Donaldson is also running. The choice for Islington North at the next election.
I think for a laugh, you get like one banter constituency, and it's also like a ranked list voting. So you get like you have to put in order. What?
Everton have been docked another 2 points.
Oh. Ava doesn't like football.
No. Who is that?
It was my
other personality.
Snap back.
Yeah.
In character. But you get rank list. And just have you get the five of the worst people. And one of them has to be the MP.
Imagine that hustings.
It'd be so sick.
Imagine you outside. You're still banned from that, even that hustings. You can't even...
Being sneered at by Tory teenagers.
The Taliban won't let you into their prison. No, we've heard about you.
Oh, no. Oh, Joe, no, thank you. I only work for serious organisations.
Yeah. That is actually... Oh, no, I can't repeat that. That's it's so good.
Mm. That's actually...
I'll tell you after.
That's such a newscast thing to say.
Yeah, it is. Sorry. Didn't mean to be a cunt.
Comment how much of a fanny I've ascended there. Sorry, that was really mean. I take that back.
You calling me a fanny?
Yeah. And I was like, you know, like, newscast be like, oh!
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
The worst one was when they're like, I've got three stories about Damien McBride. I can't tell you any of them. And then they're all at the table going,
And that's what I was about, people in Al-Qaeda.
Anyway, I really like going on newscasts. So.
Oh, yeah. God, sorry.
I actually love it.
I would never.
Shut the fridge.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Yeah, let's do some actual politics now.
So, speaking of actual politics, we're talking hardest geezer. Oh, actually, sorry, let's do actual politics. I've thought of something. Should we talk William Rack? We've not talked to William Rag since he was revealed.
Okay.
You and I were talking about this earlier. Mm. People were saying, William Rag, we should feel sorry for William Rag.
He was brave, is what they said. He was very brave.
Very brave. And people being like, there's some suggestion that William Ragg is, people are saying that he's the victim of a crime here.
The crime of being horny.
Lock me up! But okay, so modern dating.
He can throw the first stone.
Here's a photo of my stones.
Do you want the number of all my stones?
Okay. So William Ragg was revealed to have been like tricked into like handing over the private numbers of his colleagues. Because he sent a stranger a photo, intimate photos, we don't know what of, but whatever.
And Westminster's treating this story earnestly, but it's like, as if it actually was like a heist.
But people have been like, he's been the victim of a crime. These types of scams are really, really serious. And so modern dating culture, whatever, app-based dating, sexting, whatever, in the age of these apps, Just saying, like, don't send a photo of your penis to someone, they're not going to listen. They're going to do it. But so people have been like, oh, William Ragg's the victim of a crime here. He couldn't possibly help himself.
He didn't have to put his face in the picture.
He's a gay man on Grindr. They're animals.
This is what I was saying the other day.
It's implying that gay men can't control themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's not homophobic to say that a member of parliament should have a higher level of discretion about who you show your penis to than anyone else.
But penis without face. We've done a joke like that before. No face. But do you know what I mean?
No face, just penis fine.
I just think that, like, I just think that when Jeremy Hunt came out and said that he was very brave, and it was like...
What are you talking about?
It was like, if this is like on the flip side...
He's still got the whip.
Yeah, the whip. Yeah, you're damn right he does.
But he's still a Tory MP. Mm. He gave people's numbers pressure.
This is not the point. The point is, it's okay to go on Grindr and send pictures of yourself.
Yes.
That's fine. Like, cool. Go and live your life. The problem is when you then go, oh, I don't like where this is going. I better hand over all of my colleagues' phone numbers.
Just like, I think if you're an MP or you're in a position of any state security, don't put yourself into a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
Imagine he was a spy. Imagine he was in MI6 and he was like...
Yeah, at MI5 over the weekend, he was on the blackboard and they just crossed his name out. He falls at the last hurdle.
There's a real crisis in MI6 recruitment because all young people are too horny.
Yeah,
there's too much compromising information of them.
Okay, so another thought that I was having was, we've sat here before and we've talked about the dick pics that I get into my inbox.
Yes.
What would you do if I came in one day and said, sorry, I actually sent a picture of my tits back and I've now given them you and Ollie's numbers. And then you both sat there and went, oh no.
Oh no.
Is that the man I just sent my penis to? It's so nuts.
He's so convincing. You know, did you watch that? Remember that Netflix documentary? I can't remember the name of it. But the premise was, it was kidnapped in plain sight or something like that.
Right.
And the premise was this girl was groomed by this next door neighbour in like small town America.
Oh, a comedy then, yeah?
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. But she was like kidnapped for like, this man took her on holiday for like fucking on holiday for 3 months. But the kidnapper was having sex with both the girl's mum and dad. So he's the most...
Who wrote that? Who wrote this?
It's real.
Oh.
It's a documentary.
I'm more relieved that... No. Whoa.
Well, I'm glad that did happen. But like,
yeah, what the hell?
Just the smoothest operator of all time.
Smooth operator?
Yeah.
Rape is smooth operation.
Might want to rephrase that.
Wow. Yeah, I just think this whole William Ragg story
I don't want to use an example.
Go on.
If this happened to someone else, I'd be like, well, that's fucking horrific. That's like revenge porn or whatever. If that was like this, like, if someone leaks someone's nudes, that's revenge porn.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
But in like modern dating culture, I don't think it's fair to stigmatise someone or criticise someone for sending nudes.
I agree.
I think it's unrealistic.
Totally agree.
But if you're an MP, you should have a much higher level of discretion.
You shouldn't put your face in it. Like, I just think...
I actually think you shouldn't do it if you're an MP.
Oh, I think you can send peen, just no face. Genuine. I'm not being like... I think...
Maybe I'm a prude.
I think that that's just sort of being careful.
But also, actually, trusted partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stranger.
Because it's not even about, like, the sort of... It's not about that you have to have boundaries, necessarily, because you're a trusted member of parliament or something like that. But it's about, like, if you're in the public eye and you're quite, you're quite prominent in the public eye, it's quite obvious that you shouldn't be going on, well, that you have to make a sacrifice and you can't really just go and post, you can't go on Field and solicit sex from people in the same way that you could if you're not in the public eye.
Yeah.
I just think that's quite an obvious distinction.
Yeah, definitely. You can't, like...
And I just think that the real crux of the story, which makes it like totally... Because if this story on its own was he was being blackmailed after he sent a nude photograph of himself, I would feel terrible for him. And I'd be like, oh my God, that is awful. The bit of this story that doesn't make sense to me is that he just gave away everyone's phone numbers.
So quick.
And then was like, but didn't tell them either.
Yeah, crazy.
He didn't then ring them up. Like Harry York was on the front of the Sunday Times talking about he was the political journalist that got targeted by this person. Like, you could have rung Harry York and just been like, look, I need to talk to you in the strictest of confidence. Do not reply to that number. Because actually what you've done is you've opened him up to the potential of being in the same blackmail situation that you're in.
But then did Harry York not see through it like immediately?
But yes, but that's... do you see how that's how, like, any other normal person... Do you know what it was like, the scam? It was sort of like... Do you know when you get an email from, like, carphone.warehouse@yahoo.co.uk and the emails that you, like, hello, I have your phone. Send me £500.
Like, oh, no.
Oh, better send
my phone
it.
To send the £500. Are we done ragging on rag?
Yeah.
William, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, you have an open invitation to come on and defend yourself here.
Well, he's always welcome on the programme.
Yes, but especially about this.
But not the form of it. It's fine. The nude sending is fine.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not like... It's the...
Listen, nude sending...
We encourage it.
We do.
People are horny.
But that's fine.
Maybe your peen's nice.
Maybe.
Maybe you got a nice peen. And maybe your partner has consented to seeing a photo of it, and that's important.
Yeah.
Don't airdrop it to anybody.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? They were also two consenting adults on an app.
Yes.
Asking for each other's peens. Fine.
Well, one was a consenting adult. One person was a scammer.
Well, he consented.
Yeah, he actually encouraged it, if anything. He consented too much.
Mm. Are we now feeling sorry for the scammer because he got sent?
He had to look at it.
Like where this is going. This is good.
Speaking of...
Pants down.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Horace Geezer.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Cook. Russ Cook? Presumably Russell. Nicknamed Horace Geezer. Celebrated crossing the finish line in Tunisia on Sunday after he ran the length of Africa. Took him 352 days, running more than 10,000 miles, which is... I think universally acclaimable. That's pretty mental. The first person to do that, like the toll it's taken, etc. You might be wondering where this is going, listeners. What discourse we could have? I thought it'd be fun to preempt some discourse, and if we could try and come up with the most contrarian takes on this.
Because this kicked off, I think, from when you'd seen online that people were saying, "Wow, they're only covering this now that he's crossed the finish line."
That's mental. People being like.
The media have been silent.
There was like, in like the influencer, I think Horace Geezer is a YouTuber, amongst like the YouTuber influencer community, people be like, wow, the media have only now cottoned onto this. I was kind of like, well, yeah, because the man was doing the same thing every day for 352 days, which is quite dog bites man.
Right.
He's now finished.
Was he running from a dog the entire time? Yeah, is that why he was running?
Chasing. But then it became man.
Someone should have stopped that dog.
He had
to run 10,000 miles.
He just got spooked. But now the media is only taking an interest because he's done it. Like, man.
No, don't even entertain what they had to say. It's the dumbest take ever, which is why we now bring you more dumb takes.
More contrarian takes than this. Do you want to start?
Why don't you start with one, then I'll come with one, and then
I think you're first. The one you've said to me already, I think you do your one.
Oh, right, okay. I thought that it was woke washing of Christianity because it impinges on the Compostela, which is a Catholic walk, a Catholic pilgrimage. And so I thought this was the woke left who want to get rid of all Christian traditions.
Eradicate, like, the Camino.
Yes.
They wanted to do
He's
that.
He's eradicating the Camino.
Yep. Imagine like a Telegraph column.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest geezer is the one good young person.
Right.
All other young people are lazy and no one wants to work now.
Oh, that's good.
Kids are too busy working from home. Hardest geezer couldn't have done this if he was working from home.
Okay, I like that one. Sisyphus was lazy.
We must imagine Hardest Geezer happy.
Yeah.
I've got another one.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite. Same Telegraph columnist, but like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Hardest Geezer is lazy because he had to do rest days.
Yeah.
So back in my day, we'd have done it without rest days and also while smoking and drinking petrol.
Back in my day, I walked the length of Africa to get to school.
Back in my day, we called it Rhodesia.
Okay, I've got another one.
Mm-hmm.
Woke runner refuses to wear St. George's Cross.
You might think it powerful, an Englishman running the length of Africa.
Mm.
No. He did it without mentioning St. George once.
Mm-hmm.
Hardest geezer is toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Men would rather would rather run the length of Africa than go to therapy.
Nice.
I think that's I bet someone's tweeted that.
Yeah. Okay. Man flies in the face of skin cancer, proving it's not melanoma is not real. Woke doctors pretend melanoma is real.
NHS in crisis. The cost of rehabilitating Horace Geezer's ailing body will bankrupt the NHS.
Yeah, that's good. Health tourism. If you want to take risks, should the country pay for it?
Why didn't you run the length of Britain?
Yes.
What's wrong with Britain?
Woke runner chooses Africa over Pennines.
Britain snubbed.
Chad over Chester. As he was crossing the finish line,
mm-hmm.
Someone actually shouted at him, "What do you think of the Nike St. George's Cross?"
He's sponsored by Hoka, so he's probably contractually obliged to not discuss Nike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I say that. I don't know anything about his commercial deals.
Okay, woke runner silent on St. George Cross furore.
I love those. You know, there are stories about like BBC presenter breaks silence about absence for whatever. You click that and then you read the article and it's like, I was on holiday with my kids.
Right.
So something like redheaded man silent on consequences of Brexit.
Yeah.
Because he was running the length of Africa.
Runner makes case for Schengen by avoiding border checks.
Runner endorses China by going to Africa.
Right.
That's quite a weak one.
Yeah. Runner shows you don't need tech to have fun. This man ran in real life.
Man snubs tech by running forever long. Has that game run out of steam, do you think?
I don't know. Have you got any more?
No, just sheer silence.
Have you got any more Huel in the pack?
Do you like Huel?
I don't actually think I've ever had Huel.
No, the idea frightens me.
Why? I think you've had it before.
No.
Have you not?
No, never.
Well, we're Oh yeah. Okay.
I think it's not. It doesn't. It seems quite dystopian to me.
Sure.
Here's my sludge. It's like I imagine. What, you know the humans in Wall-E, the people on the ship.
Yeah.
It seems like something they would eat.
I go through phases. It's actually, I would say, since we're getting into it, I would link it to my cycle, where I just, like, there'll be, like, a week where I don't, like, I don't want to eat.
Right.
But I'm hungry, but I don't want to eat. Like, I'm hungry, but I don't want to prepare food for myself. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not bothered by the taste of it.
You just want something to consume.
Yeah, like, the other 3 weeks... We're having a great time.
You're a Michelin star chef.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this like 1 week and I'm always just like, oh, I just could care less what I'm eating. Like, I just want to get this done. And that's when a week I would consider eating just solid.
Just Huel.
Like, yeah, Huel. Or like little pouches or whatever.
Of something.
Yeah.
Like an electrolyte drink.
Mm.
Like an IV.
You see, I would do that. There's definitely 1 week a month where I'm like, I am eating to live here. I could care less about food.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
It is interesting. It's really nice to talk about my cycle with you.
Yeah, feel free to do it whenever.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ava's Cycle Hour for more updates.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Mm.
Maybe we could all make you laugh. Yeah, imagine. Maybe... It's like, so I've been tracking your cycle.
Yeah.
And I know that you don't want to make lunch. Something I prepared earlier. Would that be nice or would that be weird?
So you're just putting that slow-cooked pesto.
something I made that's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Sean's always got good pre-prepared food. Ollie cooks quite well for himself as well.
Yeah, it's just me. He's a fucking moron.
Yeah. I'm only prepared to cook between Monday and Wednesday. To bring in food for, you know.
Right. You're only prepared?
Yeah, and then by Thursday my week's got so out of
control.
Yeah.
That's true. You never know where you are. Sometimes you're flying out. Do you see people flew out to see the Hardest Geezer at the finish line?
Yeah. And did you see the tweet that was like, someone quote tweeted Thomas Skinner when he was like, thanks so much, buzz cut.
Oh, yeah. Like, fingers.
Yeah.
Smoky.
And then someone was like, the guys at the finish line. Yeah.
On that note, should we leave it there?
Yeah, since we're at the finish line.
Yes, exactly.
Mm.
This, I imagine this, listening to this podcast was as hard as running the length of Africa. If you want to repeat it, make sure to check out other content on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's good, that, yeah.
Yeah, like and subscribe. Rate 5 stars wherever you can, in all the usual places. Are we done?
You can keep going. I was gonna gently clap under you.
Oh no, I think we're done. Everyone clap. Louder. Everyone. Yeah, that's quite nice. Thank you for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.